what a tremendous blessing that is this morning to know that I am a Savior, am happy and blessed. Well, I am thankful to be here today, thankful to be saved and born again of the blood of Christ. Thankful to know my Lord and Savior today, that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what tragedy falls, no matter what problem that may occur today, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. And you know what? He's with us in the happy times. He's with us in the bright times. He's with us in the mountaintop experience. And He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the dark times. And I want us all to know that today so that we may have our gratitude toward the One that is in heaven for who not only saved our soul, but you know what? He's given us life here on earth. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said it. I'm 43 years old. Never in my life thought that I would live to see 43. Never in my life thought that I would live to see that. And I'll tell you, after I got saved, I was born again of the blood of Christ, and after I was called to preach and became a student of the Word, I was shocked that I would ever see 30, because I thought the Lord was going to come back, you know, that quick. And then I was shocked that when I saw 40, because I still thought the Lord was coming back. And friend, I'm going to tell you, I live my life with the fact that I want to be surprised if the next moment comes. You say, why do you live that way? It's not a fear of dying. It's not a fear of death by any stretch of the imagination. We are to be looking for that blessed hope. We are to be looking for, expecting Him to come. It's called the intimacy of Christ. His intimate return is right there. And guys, it may be 30 years. It may be 20 years. It may be 50 years. It may be 5 days, 5 minutes, 5 seconds. We have to live our life as if this is our last day, as if there is no tomorrow. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to the New Testament, into the first epistle of John this morning. First epistle of John, and I know I've asked you to stand quite a few times today already, but I'm going to ask you one more time, if you're willing and if you're able to this morning, we're going to stand. When you get to 1 John and chapter 4, I want to bring a message to you. God knows my heart. God knows the direction that I want to go, and He knows my desire today. And yes, I have an outline, and yes, I have my notes down, but I asked God before the service back there in the little vestry room, little prayer room, vestry room, treasury room, whatever that little room is called between the gents and the hallway, I asked God, if we need to go off outline, take the outline, throw it in the rubbish bin, take the lead today. Anoint us as You will with Thy Holy Spirit. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, if you will, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We'll pray, and then we'll have a seat for a spell for the sermon this morning. The fourth chapter of the first epistle of John, in the fourth verse, this is the encouraging verse that we receive. The Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Father in heaven, I pray today again that You would place Thy special blessings upon the Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray that You would take the reins, take the helm. Visit us, dear God, with the Holy Spirit this morning. We pray that You would lead, God, and direct us in every step of the way, every word that we say. Dear God, every thought that we may have in our life today, in our hearts, whatever intentions they may be, please bring them under the submission, dear God, I ask, to You and Thy Word this morning. Father, we lift up Thy precious name. We love You. We give You glory, honor, and praise. And we thank You, Father, from the depths of our heart. We thank You for eternal salvation. We thank You for the three new souls, dear God, that have made a profession of faith as Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray, knowing that there are those right now, right on the brink of making that decision, even yet here, dear God, in this building, just behind us, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would intervene, and I ask You to save eternally that soul. Father, touch them, we ask, dear God, that complete another and faithful, full forgiveness may be made, that they may be securely and surely saved by the blood of Thy precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we ask all of these things today. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated.
I do believe the Lord is working in a mighty way in all of our lives. I believe that the Lord works in a mighty way in all of our lives every single day. Even when we get in the midst of lives that seemingly are mundane or seemingly are ritualistic or seemingly kind of like a rut. You know, we get up in the morning, we pray, we read our Bible, we have our coffee, we eat our breakfast, we go to work, and then we come home and we have our dinner and our tea, and then we have our fellowship and our time, and maybe we read a little bit longer, or maybe we turn the telly on, or whatever you do on your day. I know there's times that it seems like that our life is just ritualistic, like it's just a continual process of the same thing every single day. And for the fact that, for the most part, guys, that's what our life is. Our life is a continual process of repeat events in the days that the Lord has given us. And that's not a bad thing. Because God has given us the sphere of influence to live in, to continue a repetitive life that we may bring glory and honor unto Him, so that the world may see consistency in our life. Amen. It's not a bad thing that your life is scheduled out for 5 days, and you know that you got to be at work from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and you eat lunch at 12, you eat breakfast at 6, you read your Bible at 6:30. I mean, that's not a bad thing. Amen. Personally, I like schedules. I like to look at a piece of paper and know where I'm going to be the next, if it was up to me, the next 120 days, who knows? But I mean, that's impossible, I understand. But I like to book things out. I have a big calendar. I keep things on my phone. I enjoy having a life that is scheduled, but also with the cushion just in case something comes in. There's nothing wrong with a scheduled life, but sometimes that scheduled life becomes almost an albatross in our mind. It becomes a weight so heavy, so, again, I used the word mundane a second ago, and we interpret it as being mundane, but our life is not mundane. Our life is a life that is lived through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the representation of Him in this world. And it's far from mundane, because the people of this world are watching you. They're looking at you. They're looking to see what you're doing in this life. And sometimes, the best that you can do is just throw the reins down, say, God, take the reins, lead, guide, direct me into the way that you would have me to go, because I just cannot do it on my own. And guys, that is the reality of the Christian life. We are faced with many trials in our life, trials that seemingly come from all angles sometimes. There are days when the sun is shining so bright. Yesterday was so beautiful. If my calculations are right, which they're probably not, but if they are, it got up to 76 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday. Somewhere. Okay. In England, not here. I don't know. I don't know what it was here. We ran up to Leeds yesterday. And I'm going to tell you, we drove, but nevertheless, we went up to Leeds yesterday. And it was so beautiful. It was a beautiful ride home, and I felt so much better when I got back in Wales. Amen. But anyway, nevertheless, just kidding, Nate, just kidding. Nevertheless, when I got back in, the weather was just, it was beautiful all day long, from start to finish, gorgeous weather. And there's days spiritually that are like that in our lives. No matter what's going on outside, whether it's rain, snow, sleet, tornadoes, hurricanes, there are days when the sunshine of God shines down into our heart, that it seems like everything is brighter, everything is illuminated, everything is just beautiful. And then there's the other days. There's the other days that seemingly we struggle in life. That it seems like problems and struggles are facing us from every single angle. Some of the problems that we face in the life in this world today, they're self-inflicted, meaning that we simply bring them on ourselves, that we just don't obey the Word of God, or we don't do right, or we just do something wrong, whatever. I mean, there are issues in our life that are self-inflicted. Some are just single events, meaning they come and go just as quick as they came in, they fleet out just as fast. But at the end of the day, if you're here this morning and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're sitting here today born again of the precious blood of Christ, you have overcome the world. And every single event and every single trial and every single tribulation and every single trouble that this world may throw at us today, that this system is set to destroy the creation of God, to glorify, that is built to glorify Him, as we all are to do and say, you have overcome that world. It does not matter what happens outside these doors if you are saved and born again today. You are an overcomer. But can I say this to you this morning? We are often tempted to quit. I don't know of any child of God today that would be honest before God Himself that's never been tempted to give up. That's never been tempted just to throw in the white towel. To forsake it all and just say, my soul, I can't do it any longer. We're going to have smaller trials in our life. Guys, we're going to have struggles with things that you and I may look at as being simple. Like attending church. We're going to struggle with that, aren't we? Everybody that's born again of the blood of Christ have struggled with church attendance sometime in their life. That's just the way it is. You may be sitting here today going, oh man, I tell you what, I feel so guilty and so bad because I'm a born again believer in Christ and because I struggled back in the day of attending church. Listen, that's normal and that's natural because you're still fighting the flesh. It's part of it. I'm not saying this should be a continual thing, but I am telling you that we're going to have these small trials. The world will bring events. It'll bring things into our life to distract us away from the house of God. But guys, listen, don't get so caught up and say, well, I'm just going to quit if I can't be committed all the time. Don't do that because God is still on your side. He's still giving you the power to overcome whatever this world may throw your way. My friend, there are battles. Trials that we are faced in this world today. There are struggles that you and I face in this world today. There's things that we face here in the United Kingdom, that we face here in Wales, that we face here in the Kinnan Valley. There are things that we are going to face on a daily basis that when we look at them and we evaluate our life, they're first world problems. First world problems. You know, like getting upset because we don't have cell service. Amen? I battled it for, 5 months, 6 months here? Turned off, turned on, turned off, turned on, no data, data, this data, that. I mean, it was a mess. At the end of the day, that's a first world problem. I mean, you know, like the internet going out, or the power going out, or, you know, hey, something went out last week in our house, I can't remember what it was. Oh, the washer went out. The breaker popped in the morning, ended up being the washer bad, so the washer was out. We can't wash our clothes. We hand washed for a day or two. That didn't work out that well, but we did do it, amen. I tell you, it's hard to get the soap out of those things, amen. But nevertheless, you know, here, those are first world problems, guys. But how many times have we been faced, listen carefully, with first world problems? And we said, man, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to throw in the towel. I just can't do this anymore. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I tell you that is a promise from God Himself? No matter how strong, no matter how mighty, no matter how many, no matter what the multitude may be, no matter if they seem like they are the majority, and in a great way they are, it does not matter. This world, my friend, listen, we have overcome the world because greater is the God that is inside of us than the God of this world. Never let your heart fail from that truth right there. Because if you don't, you're going to quit. I want to encourage you today not to quit. I want to encourage you this morning to don't quit in the midst of struggles. Don't quit in the midst of dark days. Don't quit in the midst of tribulations. Don't quit in the midst of trials. Don't quit, my friends, when the chips may not fall like you think they should. Number one, I want to share with you this morning, if you will, in 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 5, that we will have battles in this life. On the heels of reading verse 4, giving us the encouragement that greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world, verse 5 tells us that they, this is the reference to the word they from verse 4, they are of the world. If you go back to verse 4 in relation to verse 5, when it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Thee and them from verse 4 tie directly into they of verse 5. They, meaning them, they, the world, They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We sit back and we wonder today why we don't have a voice in the world today, a voice in Wales today, a voice in England today, a voice in Ireland, a voice in Northern Ireland, a voice in Scotland, a voice in America. We don't have a voice today because the world is going to listen to itself, and it's not going to listen to us unless the Spirit of God Himself intervene into their heart and change their heart from the inside out. We can try reformation all we want. External reformation does not work. Internal repentance and a turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that shall make a difference in this world today. When souls get saved down Lewis and down Badeau and down Davis Street, down Cardiff Road, when you begin to see souls get saved and families put back together and lives change, that's when you're going to see a change in this community. That's when we're going to see the pubs close down and the betting places close down. And that's when we're going to see the difference in people's lives. And that's when you're going to stop hearing so much profanity in the road. My soul, I tell you, I get so tired of hearing people cuss. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I heard a quote the other day that cursing is nothing more than an idiot trying to explain himself or express himself. And that is true, amen. A gentleman, saved or lost, does not use profanity. Amen, preacher. Oh, it crawls all over me. My dad taught me that profanity is nothing more than the use of someone who has the lack of vocabulary. Go back to the days in your life before you were saved. And some of us were too young to really understand that when you got saved. And that's a huge blessing. Can I say that if you were here today and you got saved in an early age, don't you dare let the testimonies of those who got saved later on in life overshadow the testimony that you have. Hallelujah, amen. I would rather myself to have that testimony that I got saved at 5 years old and I lived a God-pleasing life all my life. Don't let it overshadow. God blesses both of them, it's true. But never let it overshadow the testimony that God has given you. The ways of this world will bring forth battles into our life, my friend. Battles that we faced back then when we were lost, but the world hurt us then. And now being saved, child of God this morning, the world will bring battles into our lives sometimes on a daily basis, struggles into our lives that we will all experience. Some struggles, listen carefully because this is the meat of where we're getting ready to go into battles, some struggles are individual. He brings battles into our life on an individual basis. But can I share this thought with you this morning that some battles that we will face in our life are collective battles? They're battles that all of us are facing. Not just us here at Sarah Chapel, not just those down the street on Grawl Street, or not just those down on Davis Street, not just those over in the Rhondda Valley or up in Sir Howley or whatever. Hey, listen, they're battles that are collective for every one of us. Some of those battles come on a daily basis. Let me say this to you this morning. There are battles, my friend, of conditions. Battles of condition. The news this weekend has been inundated by the events in America. Everybody knows and everybody hears it. It's all over Twitter. It's all over Instagram. I'm sure it's all over Facebook. It's all over emails. It's everywhere we know we hear this, of what had happened in America. England and Wales legalized same-sex marriage back in 2013, and it came into force in May of 2014, with the first so-called marriage occurring on the 29th of May. Scotland passed the same law in February 2014, and it took effect in December of the same year. Northern Ireland has no plans whatsoever to legalize the union, but we'll see how that goes. Last month, we found that the referendum was approved in Ireland, most of which the churches there were in utter dismay that it passed there. And just on the 26th of June, 2015, this past Friday, the United States of America Supreme Court, I'd like to call them the inferior court, but nevertheless, the Supreme Court approved a federal bill to recognize homosexual marriage in all 50 states. Friend, 30 years ago, we would have never believed that the end times media would be dominated by this issue. Much less our parents 50 years ago would not have thought that. And our grandparents 70 years ago would have not have thought that. But can I share this simple little thought with you today? We are in the end times. And the Bible does say that perilous times will come. And we are on the brink of a figurehead standing up and unifying the world for it with a pseudo-peace for 7 years that is broken in 3.5. He's called the Antichrist. Make no mistake and understand that the Word of God denotes the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, saying, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. He shall magnify himself above all." Now, he may be a eunuch, he may be a sodomite, he may be somebody that doesn't have time for any of it, but he's a person that comes in and says that he's God. And we know that. So there are battles that you and I face on a daily basis of conditions. Conditioned battles, like people battling the weather, or struggling with the weather, too cold, too hot. These are the battles that we're facing in our world. And here's the deal. God knew when we were going to be born. He knew that I was going to be born in 1971. I know you thought 81, but nevertheless, amen. He knew that Darius was going to be born in 2000. He knew Lorraine was going to be born in 1992. You know, he knew these things, amen. You always guess later or whatever, anyway. He knew these things. He appointed us to be here in this world at this time. And we cannot quit now, amen. There's battles of conditions. There are battles of consequence, my friend. Beloved, the issue is bad enough in and of itself. I understand that. But guys, can you understand? It's not about marriage equality that we're seeing today. It's the redefinition or the redefining of marriage as a whole. But can I ask you a question this morning as we look at the battles of consequence? What should we expect? This may get touchy. It may be personal. I have no idea. But it's still the Bible. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Our nations have dishonored marriage and the union that God has ordained for 30, 40, and 50 years. It's not something that just showed up in the 21st century. Divorce is an epidemic. In the United States of America, I know at least, is that 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. Shacking up together prior to marriage is commonplace. When somebody says, "This is my partner," they're not saying, "That's my wife back there, by the way. She's not my partner." Amen. "I didn't have a business agreement with her. She's my wife, praise God. I'm given over to her. I'm a sacrificial position. As Christ loved the church, I'm to love her and give myself to her." It's not an arrangement that we made. Let's live together for 5 or 6 years and see how it goes. Just because society has accepted such actions does not make the Bible antiquated or archaic. It doesn't make God's law of none effect. If it was wrong 100 years ago, if it was wrong 1,000 years ago, it was wrong 2,000 years ago, it's wrong in God's eyes today. No matter where we live or when we live, the Word of God is perfect then, just as it is perfect now. There are battles of consequence that we're facing in our nation today, and God knew that you and I were going to live here. Amen. He knew that we were going to be part of this generation. He didn't wake up one morning and go, "Wow, I can't believe it. That BJ's down there living in, man, I didn't see that coming." God didn't do that. He appointed us to live in a time where our nation is facing the battles of consequence, and we are in the midst of it, amen. You know what the temptation is? Friend, the temptation is to mistreat these people that have chosen this life. Now, you're probably going to say, "Oh, preacher, you're going to go soft on us now." I'm not going soft on you. I'm going to stand on the same principle that I've always stood. Matter of fact, 11 years ago, I stood in my pulpit in Tennessee when Massachusetts became the first church to try to pass a bill on homosexual marriage. And it was passed, cut down, passed, cut down, passed, cut down. All of this has been going. This is nothing new. I preached for 1 hour and 15 or 1 hour and 20 minutes, longest sermon I ever preached in my life. And I'm not trying to top it today. And the title of the message was "The Marriage Bed Undefiled." You see, the tendency, my friend, is to go out and mistreat and browbeat the homosexuals. I believe it's a lifestyle choice. You're not born that way. You may be born with effeminate tendencies. That may be true. That's fine. I can accept that. But there's some people that are born with drunken tendencies. Some people are born with violent tendencies, and they give way to them. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Because I've dealt with them for 30-something years. I've been by the bedside of a 6'4", 88-pound man dying of AIDS. I've worked with them almost my entire life, and I've had compassion on them. Somebody asked me, preacher, how do you witness to a homosexual? I said, how do you witness to a Catholic? And they said, D-D-D-D-D. I said, same way. What are you going to do? You're going to go over there and you're going to browbeat them because of the sin they chose, but not browbeat the drunkard over here, the murderer, and all? No, no, sir, it doesn't work like that. We have to understand that the prevalence of the sinful lifestyle that we see, it's not a cause of our nationality or our nation's demise. It's not a cause of the collective downfall of our nation, both here in the United Kingdom and over in Ireland, as well in the United States. It's not the cause, my God, my friends. But it's not the reason our countries are in demise. Now, we want to say that. We want to sit back and we want to point the finger at them. But reality, we need to point the finger at us. The downfall of our governments, the downfall of our countries, the downfall of families and churches is not being caused by homosexuality. It's not, homosexuality is not the reason. Listen carefully. It's the result. It's the curse that God brought on a nation when a nation turned its back against God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 21, the Bible says, because that when they knew God, that means they knew who He was, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful and became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. Now stop it right there. You know what happened? When they knew God as a nation, they said, nope, we're not going to glorify the God of heaven. We're going to glorify the God of the earth and God of the world and the God of the birds and the bees and the sycamore trees. And we're going to honor them up and above God Himself. Therefore, God darkened their heart. And the next verse says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I could park there for just a little bit, but I won't. 1973, in the United States of America, 60-some-odd million babies have been destroyed, been murdered in abortion. That is not natural. The Bible says, the Bible goes on to say in verse 27, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Listen, the message is not about the issue that is on the news. I'm not going to browbeat that. Salvation is what is needed. It's needed for the murderer. It's needed for the drunkard. It's needed for the drug addict. It's needed for the homosexual. It's needed for the clean person who's lived a perfect life, but not in Christ Jesus. Everybody needs salvation. And you can't look at one and needing it more. Yes, somebody may be forgiven of more, but that's their personal responsibility with God. You can't say, well, I want to go reach them. The power of the gospel is brought into the lives of those that are deceived in this world today. And my friend, God chose us to live in this time, this dispensation, this age. So don't quit because of the battles of consequence. Don't quit because of the battles of condition. My friend, don't quit because of the battles of concern. How many times have we sought the Lord to answer a prayer, and it seems as if the prayers are not making it past the ceiling? Sometimes the Lord answers the prayers just as quick as we ask them. Oh, I love those days. Sometimes He doesn't. And I got a list of them, pages in my prayer journal. I'm waiting for them. There's a couple that I won't answer much quicker than the other ones, if you don't know the truth. But I got a list. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly in the ministry of spreading the gospel around this world. He mentions in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he mentions the persecutings, the beatings, the whippings, the shipwreckings, the hungering, the thirsting, all the things, the multitude of perils that he faced, and on top of all that, the care of the churches. what God chose him to do. Beloved, there are battles that occur in our life of concern. If you take Paul again, he sought the Lord three times for that messenger of Satan that buffeted him to be removed from him. God said, my grace is sufficient to thee. You take Daniel. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. The Bible says that he was in mourning. 21 days later, the angel shows up to answer that prayer. In Daniel chapter 10, he says, I heard you the first day. He said, but, of course, he says the kings there, the kingdom, the kings of Persia, he referred to the real king of Persia, who is Satan. He said, they are fighting me. One of the princes, Michael, that old archangel, he came down and he helped me, and I'm here today. Guys, there are prayers that are going up before God today that you are making that you want to be answered right now, and God's going to answer them, but He's going to answer them in His time, because you've overcome the world, and it may be 21 days, it may be 21 months, it may be 21 minutes, it may be 21 seconds, but God is going to answer them. But we fight those battles of concern, we get so concerned, is God hearing me? Yeah, He's hearing you. Battles today that we're going to face. We must remember the forces that are behind the battles today. The Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle is not with the person across the street. The battle is not with somebody who names another ruler. The battle is not somebody who's got their idea of marriage turned off. The battle is not with them. The battle is a spiritual battle that's beyond them. And if we can fight that battle through prayer, and witness to the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these souls, the victory can be theirs, just like it's ours. And future great king of Israel, as he stepped up to defeat Goliath. I mean, my goodness, it was a losing battle by all visible accounts, but he recognized who the battle was. He said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you. He will give you into our hands. He knew victory would come. But he knew that there would be a victory, beloved. And I'm going to ask you this morning. Do you know there's a victory? Time has failed me this morning. And I'm not done with this, but I ask God to take control. Take me off outline. And that's what he's done. So I'm going to end with this thought. Yes, there's battles. And we're going to face these battles. There are battles of conditions of the world that we live in. But God was not shocked that you're alive in 2015 here in Aberaman. Didn't catch him off guard that you're here. He didn't catch him off guard that Supreme Court approved that the other day. Didn't catch him off guard last month in Ireland. Didn't catch him off guard last year in England and Scotland. Didn't catch him off guard, did it? It was going to happen. Knew you was going to be living here. Matter of fact, he knew this church was going to be here in November, amen? And he knew you'd be sitting here today in June. That's my God. So yeah, there's battles out there. There's battles of conditions. There's battles of consequence. That's the world we live in today. And there's battles of concern. And you may have prayers today that are just not being answered, but I'm going to ask you something. Have you lost the hope that God has given you? David didn't lose hope. He knew whose the battle was. It was the Lord's. David didn't lose faith. Have you lost yours? Listen, he pressed forward. And my friend, we must not today lose hope. We must not this morning look at our world and say, I don't even recognize the world that I grew up in. Some of you may say that here today. You may say, South Wales is not what it was when I was a kid. I made a comment to my wife the other day, I think, and to David. I said, if the Lord tarries his coming, there's a good chance that one day we'll not even recognize the United States of America. This world's not my home, though. See, I'm a resident of a different place. You say, you're American. I'm a born-again believer. My residency is in heaven. And I'm not going to quit. Let me encourage you today. Yes, there are battles in this world. Yes, we're going to face them. And yes, God knew about them. So, beloved, don't quit. Press on and push forward. Keep hope. Keep praying. And keep fighting the battles. Because with God, all things is possible. The bottom line is this: greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. We thank you for the liberty, Lord, that you've blessed us with. And Father, we thank you today for taking control. We submit unto you, Lord, the fruitfulness of the words that have proceeded today into the hearts and ears and the minds of all present. I ask of you this morning to please touch and tender the hearts of each and every soul that will hear this message, be it online, be it here live today. Touch them, dear God, and take them and encourage them that no matter what is going on in the world today, they will not quit. Father, I thank you for not quitting on us. I praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for not coming down off the cross. I thank you, dear God in heaven, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life, yet 3 days later, he took it back himself and he stepped out of that tomb. Lord, thank you for giving us the greatest example not to quit. In Jesus' name, we ask for these things. Amen. And